Let us turn in our Bibles today to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Before we read the scripture here, let me introduce the message by saying this is the sixth and final message at this time that I plan to bring to us with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 5, when he spoke to the religious leaders of the nation of Israel, who professed, these religious leaders, they professed to be the disciples of Moses. They told that man that our Lord gave sight to, who was born blind, they said, "We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow," can you imagine that, calling the Lord Jesus Christ "this fellow"? "As to this," actually that's all that's in the manuscript. "As for this, we know not from whence he is." But the Lord Jesus Christ told them, who claimed to be the disciples of Moses, "Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." What a reminder this is to all of us. It's not having, it's not knowing, it's not preaching the gospel that is all important. It is believing the gospel. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7, "That many will come unto him in that day, saying that they had preached in his name, cast out devils in his name, and had done many mighty works in his name. And to those our Lord said, he would say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." So once again, I would impress upon all of us here today the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto everyone that believeth." It is. The gospel is the power of God unto everyone that believeth. It's not just having, hearing, or even preaching the gospel that is all important. It is believing in Christ. The Apostle John finished his gospel, the Gospel of John, with these words, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." What things were written? All things in the Word of God which were written concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the subject of all the Scripture. I've brought a message to us from Genesis because Moses wrote the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses wrote of me. So this is the fifth book that Moses wrote. And in this book, we see that Moses wrote of Christ. Now, here in our text, Deuteronomy chapter 18, and reading verses 15 through 19. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." I want to point four things out to us in these verses today, these verses which Moses spoke to the nation of Israel, the words of the Lord, which the Lord spoke through Moses. First, this prophet that God promised that he would send, that he would raise up, the first thing that we see concerning him is he would be of Moses' brethren. He would be of Moses' brethren. Now, Moses, in the first part of the text, he's speaking to the nation of Israel. And what God is saying here is this prophet that he would raise up would be an Israelite. He would be of the nation of Israel, one of his brethren. Now, Moses was not told at this time from which tribe the prophet would come, but that had already been prophesied. Jacob had foretold that it would be from the tribe of Judah that Shiloh would come. And as we study through the Word of God, we see that Shiloh, who is the peacemaker, is also this prophet that God promised that he would raise up. And he would be of the nation of Israel. Have you ever noticed the first few words of the New Testament? These are the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He would be an Israelite. The nation of Israel, of course, began with Abraham. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as the seed, the son of Abraham. In Psalm 89 and verse 19, we read, these are the words of God. God said, "I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I," that is God, "I have exalted one chosen out of the people." Now that term, the people, refers to the nation of Israel. And God in that psalm tells us, told the nation of Israel and tells us that he had laid help upon one that is mighty. And that is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was exalted by God, chosen out of the people. In Isaiah chapter 42, he is presented to us as God's servant, as God's elect, as he who would do all of his will, who would honor God's perfect law. So that's the first thing that we read here in this passage of Scripture about this prophet, is that he would be an Israelite. But the second thing, if you notice, he would be like unto Moses. Two times we see this. Two times that he would be of Moses' brethren, and two times we are told that he would be like unto Moses. In verse 15, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me." Now, those are the words of Moses to the nation of Israel. God's going to raise up a prophet from your brethren, and he's going to be like me, like unto me, Moses says. Then look at verse 18 again. "I will raise him up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee." Now, when we read here that God told Moses and Moses told the nation that this prophet is going to be like Moses, that tells us that Moses serves as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses himself is a type of Christ. This prophet is going to be like unto Moses. Now, I've listed five ways. I know there are many more. I know that. But I've listed five ways to us in which this prophet was like unto Moses, or five ways in which Moses is a type of this prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first way, Moses was a mediator between God and the nation of Israel. You see that in verse 16. God speaking to Moses, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, now this is what the people said. This is what the nation of Israel said. Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Moses served as a mediator between the nation of Israel and God. Now, the people here speak of God as a great fire. As a great fire. And that pictures to us God's absolute purity, His holiness. And also, they mention the voice, the loudness of the voice. When God spoke, when God came down, a manifestation of God came down on Mount Horeb. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, speaking of this, this figure, this great fire, it says, burning with fire, blackness, darkness. Think about that. Fire, the fire that we know at least, gives light. But this fire that they saw, burning with fire, but black, blackness, darkness. Someone, we know that hell is a place that's described by fire, but also it is a place described as absolute darkness. Darkness. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ experienced upon the cross when He died for the sins of His people, He experienced that darkness that is the hiding of God's face from Him. When it's described here in Hebrews, the presence, the manifestation of God, it's like a burning with fire, blackness, darkness, tempest, like a earthquake. Tempest, wind blowing, the sound of a trumpet, and that trumpet was so loud, that's the voice that they heard, and the voice of words. And now listen, which they that heard, that is the nation of Israel who were there at Mount Sinai that day. Remember, God had told Moses, you cordon the mountain off. Don't let anyone come up on this mountain. Let any animal come up on the mountain, because whoever comes is going to die. But they saw this fire, this blackness, this darkness, this tempest. They heard this loud noise, and they that heard entreated. This is what the scripture here in Hebrews says. They entreated. They entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. The manifestation of God, the holy being that He is, when He came down upon that mountain, the people were so fearful that they said, Moses, we don't want to hear His word anymore. You go. You go. And you receive His words, and then you speak unto us. In other words, they entreated, and they desire a mediator. And that's what you need. And that's what I need. To come before a holy God. We need a mediator. And the scripture says, for there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now men have come along and they've lied. Satan, no doubt, is behind the lie, but they have said that the Virgin Mary, that she also serves as a mediator. That's a lie, my friends. The Bible clearly tells us there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And he's that perfect mediator because he is God. He can lay his hand upon God. He is God. And his hand upon us. He was a man, the God-man, the perfect mediator, the daysman, as he's called in the book of Job. This prophet, that God promises to raise up would be an Israelite, and he would be like unto Moses. He would be, first of all, a mediator like Moses was. Second, Moses is the only man in all the Scripture, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who exercised all three offices. He was a prophet, and yes, before Aaron was made priest, Moses served as a priest, offering sacrifices, and he was the ruler, the king. All three of those offices in Moses. He's the only man other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, as mediator, he's prophet, and we need a prophet to teach us about God. He's a priest, and we need a priest to bring us to God. And yes, he's a king, and we need a king who would conquer us and bring us into submission unto him. Because by nature, we would never come to God apart from the work of the King, the Holy Spirit, that he sends to conquer his people. I like to think about that, the fact that God's people, if you're one of his children here today, you're his by election. God chose you in eternity. You're here by purchase. Christ purchased you with his precious blood. And yes, you're his by conquest. God the Holy Spirit. We're born like the Scripture says, like a wild ass's colt. We're not going to have anybody reign over us. We're not going to have anybody tell us what to do. That's just a rebel that we all are when we come into this world. But God conquers. God the Holy Spirit. He conquers his people. Brings us into submission unto him. Well, that's the second way that the Lord Jesus Christ was like unto Moses. Moses had all three of those offices. A third way, Moses was God's deliverer. He was God's deliverer. When God called Moses at that burning bush, these are the words. Let me read you these words from Exodus chapter 3. God said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now, God delivered the nation of Israel, his people, through Moses. And the Lord Jesus is in this way like Moses. Egypt is a type in the Scripture, a type of the world. And in Galatians 1, verses 3 and 4, the apostle said, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Moses was the deliverer. Now, think about this. He brought every Israelite out of Egypt. When they left Egypt that night, yes, they came out there to the Red Sea. They didn't know what to do. God opened up the way for them. And every last one of those Israelites passed through on dry ground. And when the Egyptians, the enemies of God, assailed to do the same thing, you know what happened to them? God destroyed each and every one of them. But the point is, every one of the Israelites was delivered. And every one of God's chosen people who were given to Christ in that everlasting covenant is sure to be delivered. Not one's going to be left behind. Lord Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 2, we read, will one day appear before the Father, and he will be able to say, Father, here am I, and the children which thou hast given me. And there's not going to be any missing. There's not going to be one missing. Well, that's another way that Moses was a type, a picture of Christ. And here's a fourth way. Moses was faithful. He was faithful. In Hebrews chapter 3, the writer tells us that Moses was faithful in all his house, but listen, as a servant. He was faithful as a servant. Well, he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was faithful, faithful to do all the will which the Father gave him to do. But he's not as a servant like Moses. No, the writer there in Hebrews tells us this about him. The Lord Jesus Christ is faithful as a son. Whose house, whose family we are. Moses was like a servant. And yes, he was faithful. He served in the work that God gave him to do. There were specific instructions concerning the tabernacle, everything in the tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, everything. It wasn't left to chance, and it wasn't left for man to devise. It was divinely given to Moses, and he was faithful to make sure everything was executed just like God had given unto him. But he was, after all, a servant. Wasn't his house, it was God's house. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he's like Moses in this sense. He's faithful as a son. The house is his. The house is his. Isn't that wonderful? The house, the family of God, it's his. And he's faithful. Faithful. And here's the fifth way. Moses was a prophet. Now listen. Unlike all other prophets. Look back to Numbers with me. Turn back to Numbers chapter 12. Moses was a picture of Christ in this way. He was a prophet like all other prophets. In Numbers chapter 12. Turn back just a few pages. You remember the nation of Israel, many times they came murmuring, complaining, and even his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam, they complained. And they said, Moses, you're taking too much on yourself. You're taking too much on yourself. All the people are holy. Well, God calls them together here in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 5. The Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he, that is God, said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. God said, this is the way that I will speak to any prophet among you that I send, with this one exception. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him, not through dreams, not through visions, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. He was a prophet like no other. Moses was. What a picture, what a type is that of the Lord Jesus Christ? This prophet that God tells Moses that he would raise up unto them would be a prophet like no other. And that's the third thing that we see in our text here in Deuteronomy chapter 18. He would be given God's words. This prophet that God's going to raise up, he's going to be an Israelite. He's going to be like unto Moses. And he's going to be given the words which he speaks. Listen to these two verses from the Gospel of John. These are words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 7 and verse 16, he said, "My doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me." You see, here in our text it says, "And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." And I want you to notice that little word all, A-L-L. I've circled that word in my Bible. I'm not looking and I'm not interested in someone who tells me they've been to hell and come back, or been to heaven and come back, or they've got this vision or this word. Or keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. It was prophesied of him that he would seal up the prophecy. Daniel chapter 9. And the Lord Jesus Christ was given the words which he spoke. And he spoke those words, and he has told out God. He has revealed his Father. To see him is to see God. In John 14, he said, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." It was foretold of Christ in the Psalms. Listen to this. "Thou art fairer," F-A-I-R-E-R, "thou art fairer than the children of men." Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Grace was poured in the gospel. That's what the word here means, grace means. The gospel was poured into his lips. The words which he spoke were the words which were given him. He said, "I'm come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him, will of the Father which has sent me." Doing the Father's will included speaking God's word, speaking all. This is what the scripture here says. He shall speak all that I shall command him. He left nothing unsaid. He left nothing unsaid. In fact, as I said, he sealed up the vision and the prophecy. But now I want you to notice this fourth thing. We've seen three things. Look at this fourth thing that is prophesied of this prophet, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 19. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." And my point is, he would be heard, or men must answer to God Almighty. He will be heard, or men will answer to God Almighty. Men must hear his word. We must hear him. And I've thought about these four things. First of all, we must hear him concerning righteousness. Have you heard Christ concerning righteousness? Have you? He said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Have you heard his word concerning righteousness, that you have to have a righteousness that satisfies God, that God will accept? Have we heard his word concerning repentance? He said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." That's his word. that all men must repent. They must change their mind. And that's not a one-time action. There's an initial repentance, no doubt about that. But our life is a life of repentance. Have we heard His word about worship? He said God is a spirit. He told that woman, it's not going to be in this mountain where your ancestors say God must be worshipped. It's not going to be in Jerusalem. Oh no. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not all the gaudy religious rites and ceremonies that men have manufactured. That's not the way that He said we must worship God. We must worship Him in spirit because He is spirit and in truth, and Jesus Christ is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And fourth, we must hear Him concerning faith and the will of God. He told those people who sought Him because He had fed them, they said they wanted to do the work of God. He said, well, this is the work of God. Here it is. This is the will of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. There it is. Better hear Him. Better hear Him. Because if you don't, you'll answer to God. God said, I'll require that of those who do not hear My word, which He speaks. What a blessed passage of Scripture, right, where Moses wrote of Christ. Now, we're going to sing a closing hymn. And I've got some good news to announce to us. I've already announced some good news, but I've got some other good news here in just a minute after we sing this hymn. Number 46. Hymn number 46. Let's stand as we sing.